Hello, this is Matt Brown. How are you? Hope you're doing okay. Welcome to a very special chat with author Sophie Anderson to help celebrate International Children's Book Day. If you're listening on the 2nd of April, 2021, congratulations, it's International Children's Book Day. If you're listening after that, then I'm sorry, but you've missed it. However, I still think you'll find this chit-chat very interesting, because it is. In case you don't know, Sophie Anderson is one of this country's most successful and critically loved retellers of myths. You might be familiar with her books based on Russian myths and folklore, which are The House with Chicken Legs, The Girl Who Speaks Bear, and The Castle of Tangled Magic. They're all bestsellers, and they're all award winners as well. In fact, at the moment, The Girl Who Speaks Bear is the current holder of the Children and Young People's category for Wales Book of the Year. And it's also made the shortlist of the Carnegie Medal, which is one of the most prestigious awards in British children's writing. So let's just all agree that Sophie writes blummin' brilliant books, which is why Eloise Williams and I are so thrilled that she's writing for The Mab. The Mab is a retelling of the Mabinogion for young people, or at least people who are unfamiliar with the stories. And if you would like to become part of the project, you can. You can pre-order a copy now and get your name in the book, so that when you get it, your name is right in the front as somebody who's supported, and so you'll be part of this retelling for the rest of eternity. All you have to do, if you would like to pre-order, is go to the website unbound.com/books/the-mab. Or if you just Google search The Mab, well, then we come up straight away. And to help celebrate International Children's Book Day, there is a discount code which is available to use right now for 10% discount. All you have to do is at checkout put the code MAB10. That's M-A-B and then the number 10. MAB10. So, without any further ado, let's get to the chat with Sophie. We talked about retelling generally, but Sophie was very keen to talk about why she feels retelling myths is really, really important, and also how she goes about doing it. Enjoy!
I think it's... Yeah, you have to consider your audience, yeah. Don't you? So like when I looked at Branwyn's story, you know, like I write for children, and I think of these stories, I want families to be able to sit down and read these stories at bedtime and not give their kids nightmares. So, and the fully explicit graphic versions are out there for people who want to find them. But if you want to share these stories with children, then they have to be appropriate. And so I think you sort of look at the root of like, why is there violence? What is it saying? And how can I keep that, but just not have it so bloody and gratuitous? So I think the perfect example is in Branwyn's story, what Efnisien does to the horses. So you have this scene in the original where Branwyn's brother does an absolutely horrific, gruesome, bloody act to a whole bunch of horses. And it's an important part of the story for various reasons. So I have to keep, you know, I have to keep him doing something horrid to the horses, but I don't want it to be this bloody horrific act that's going to give people nightmares. So I thought for ages about what he could do and how much you could tone this down. And I finally decided, right, well, he can cut off the horses' manes and their tails and shave them, which is still a horrid thing to do with horses, but at least it's not this gruesome bloodbath. And so it keeps this essence of, he's done something really wrong. You don't do that to horses. You know, that's a really horrible thing to do. You know, so it keeps that, you know, kind of like shock and horror of why would he do that? You know, but also you have the comfort of knowing that someone will take care of those horses. Their fur will grow back. They will ultimately be okay. It's still not nice, but at least you don't have the horrible imagery that's in the original, you know, where Efnisien does actually something really brutal and disgusting. So, and I think every time I'm retelling a tale and I come up against some violence like that, I just think, well, how can I, you know, if it's not massively integral to the plot, I can lose it. If it is integral to the plot, then I just need to think of a way to keep it and tone it down. And things can still be shocking, I think, without being, you know, bloody or terminal. For each short story, it's a whole book. So for each short story, you could turn it into a whole book, or you could focus on a character. You can explore a particular aspect of that story, and you can leave out, you know, like the most gruesome bits. Or like I say, you can twist it and change it. But there's so much beauty and wonder and magic and love and kindness and really beautiful things in the Mabinogion. And it's just about focusing on those and giving those bits to children, giving the children the good bits and the wonderful bits and the magical bits and the good messages. And you can have a little bit of tension and a little bit of violence, because all of that will be there for them in the future. If they love these stories, then I would imagine, you know, like myself, I love folk stories when I was young, and I read child-friendly versions of this. And as you get older, you start to seek out, you know, other versions, you know, and so they're there for them. Like you said, I think what is missing now is nice child-friendly versions. So, you know, and that's what we're creating, and all the other stuff's still there. It's not like it's a replacement. It makes it richer and bigger. And
yeah, actually, that, as you were saying that, I was thinking about one other aspect of the Mabinogion, which is that in a lot of the stories, particularly the first four stories, there are a lot of female characters, but they don't often make decisions for themselves. So how do you go about giving a character more agency whilst still being careful about the spirit of the story?
Yeah, I feel quite strongly, actually, that these stories at one point would have had the women more centred than they are. Mm. So, you know, like in Branwyn's story, her name is in the title of the story. But like you say, she feels like this kind of pawn in the Game of Kings. And I know that obviously stories have always been retold, and sometimes they're altered and to suppress certain narratives. And obviously there are lots of clues that Branwyn and Rhiannon and lots of the ladies were ancient pagan goddesses. And at one point, Hellas would have been trying to suppress pagan narratives. They would have been trying to suppress non-Christian narratives. And the patriarchy, when you have patriarchal retellings, they will be trying to support that ideology and support a particular regime. So when you start doing research of the stories of the Mabinogion and you start really researching the different characters, particularly the female characters, you find that they had a lot more power. So I don't actually see it as kind of taking a character and making them central. I see it as like recentering a character and bringing the female characters in particular, bringing their power back. I think it was there originally, and I think it was diminished by patriarchal retellings and Christian retellings, basically. I do a lot of research and I read around, and I don't insert power where there wasn't any. I honestly look for clues as to what power these women had. You know, we were talking earlier about Branwyn's mother, and when you start to research her, she's like an incredibly powerful character, and there's clues that she was a kind of prophetess, and she had five children by two husbands, and she's a very strong character in her own right. So when I started thinking about Branwyn being raised by this woman, you start to see all this feminine power, and I'm not inventing it. I think it genuinely was there, and it has been suppressed, basically. So
yeah,
I do think, you know, I feel quite strongly about that. I think that we're returning in a way to earlier versions, and when I retell stories, I don't think that I'm making up a new version. Sometimes I think I like to look at all of the versions and find what I think is it could be a true version. It's a possible version that may have been told at some point. And I think these are called feminist tellings, but I think in actuality they are versions of the stories that might, well, I can imagine them being told by a fireside back in ancient Celtic times by a female storyteller to female listeners, and that actually genuinely being something that could happen. These stories with powerful women, I think that they've been taken away from people. So I think we're giving something back rather than inserting something. These stories have been told verbally, and there've been lots of versions, and they've told, but ultimately at the point they started getting written down, they were altered, you know, and lots of narratives have been suppressed. Lots of narratives have been lost. So you say, like, lots of people from different cultures and from different countries have had their stories taken away from them. And it's really sad. And I think one of the wonderful things happening today in this field of sort of folklore and retellings is that we are reclaiming a lot of the stories that have been lost and stories that have been altered. And we're bringing them back into the future. And it's a really important thing I do for our culture and our heritage, and to empower people as well, because through these stories, like you say, you know, traditionally a lot of the stories only empower the white man. And it's false. It's not true. There are lots of stories that empower people from all backgrounds and all genders. And
yeah,
and, we're bringing these stories back, and that's really important, you know, for society.
I think so
that people can see themselves in stories and be empowered by these stories, and not read the story. And you know, when I read most of the versions of Branwen, I'm just reading them, getting very frustrated by how Everest treated Branwen and how Branwen has no power. And especially when I know in my heart that it wouldn't, not all the versions would have been like that.
Yeah, we've always said about the map that even though the stories might have a medieval setting and the stories that we're drawing upon are really, really ancient, that we wanted them to have a modern sensibility when we tell them.
Yeah, I think we have to make it accessible for the children today. That's what it's all about, essentially, is making it accessible and exciting and enjoyable for the children today. And we have to make sure that, you know, in our retelling today, we're removing some of those isms and prejudices so they're not perpetuated. So you know, but it's all about making it for the now.
One thing, Sophie, I'm interested in is that you have retold lots of stories before. Probably people listening to this will be most familiar with your retelling of Russian folk stories, Russian fairy stories. And I just wondered if the process is always the same.
It always starts with reading and research, you know, definitely. I think the first thing I always do is I read as many of the versions of a story as I can find, and I write notes on the characters and the events and the themes and the motifs. And then I expand that research, you know, sort of wider and deeper and further back. So for each character, I'll go off and I'll see what I can find out about that character. And for each setting, I'll do the same. I'll look at pictures of it historically and paintings of it. I'll look at all the links that I can find and just immerse myself, you know, in that world. And I think if you immerse yourself in the world and, you know, sort of naturally your brain will sort and filter and, you know, take the most powerful reoccurring elements and sort of make something of them. And but as well as like researching back, I like to look at the now. So for example, you know, like lots of people today are interested in paganism and their Celtic heritage. And so Branwen, the goddess, means something to them today. There's lots of quite modern articles talking about, you know, how to invoke the spirit of Branwen. So I'll read all that and I'll see what Branwen means to people today. And the same with my Russian stuff. I reimagine Baba Yaga, who's a very important character, and she means a great deal to a lot of people. So I had a lot of stuff to read about what she means to people today, what she meant to people in the past, what her roots might be, what her, you know, where she came from, characters that she may be linked to in different cultures. And you just read everything that you can so that you fill your brain with all this stuff. And I'm quite a strong believer in kind of a lot of stuff going on subconsciously. So if you just fill your brain with stuff and immerse yourself with it, then your brain will create something from that makes sense, because subconsciously we know what a good story is, and because subconsciously we know what's important to us and to people today. And so you fill it with stuff, and the stuff that's most relevant and most important, I think, will kind of, you know, come to the top, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's all about research. I do massive amounts of research, you know, just for one line. You know, in the story that I wrote, there's one line where Branwen mentions a piece of advice that her mother gave her.
Yeah.
And so to get to that one line, there's so much research behind that. I researched her mother. I researched what starlings and birds mean, you know, like what the symbolism is about those things in Celtic mythology. And, you know, and so there's lots packed behind that line. And it's just one small line, but to me that, you know, that represents lots about her and how she was brought up and who her mother might have been, and what the symbolism of the birds is. And, you know, so you research lots, and it won't all end up in your story, but it will, in a way, kind of behind the scenes, if you see what I mean. It will give your story breadth and depth and meaning.
So there we go. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you to Sophie for spending some time with me virtually and chatting so much about books and retelling and myths. She's so knowledgeable about the whole process. It's fascinating, always fascinating to talk to her. Don't forget, if you would like to pre-order your copy of The Mab, do it now and you will get your name in the book. You can support us very simply by going to the website unbound.com/books/the-mab. And at checkout, you can use the code MAB10. That's M-A-B and the number 10, MAB10, and you will get 10% off whatever you've ordered. Have a great rest of your day, /week, /month, /year. Take care. Bye.